Okay, we can start now. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our press conference after today's ECOFIN Council. Without much ado, I'll give the floor to the Minister for opening remarks, please.
Dámy a pánové, dobrý den. Dovolte, abych stručně shrnul výsledky dnešního jednání. Nejprve mi dovolte, abych zmínil závěry k ekonomickému zhodnocení největšího rozšíření Evropské unie, které Rada symbolicky přijala téměř den k datu pětiletého výročí, takzvané pět let poté. Shodli jsme se na tom a přijali to jako závěry, že rozšíření bylo přínosem pro celou Evropskou unii a že všem státům to pomohlo lépe se vyrovnat s dopady současné hospodářské krize. Rovněž jsme se shodli na tom, že po pěti letech ztrácí význam dělení země Evropské unie na nové i staré. Dalším bodem byl ministerský dialog s kandidátskými zeměmi, bývalá republika Jugoslávská Makedonie, Chorvatsko, Turecko. Zhodnotili jsme předstupní hospodářské programy těchto zemí, diskutovali jsme o hospodářských a fiskálních politikách, s uspokojením jsme přijali jsme vzali na vědomí, že došlo k významnému pokroku v plánech těch přístupových plánech těchto zemí a vyzvali jsme k dalším reformám. Dalším významným bodem byla diskuze o hospodářské situaci, která logicky navazovala na včerejší predikci Evropské komise a tady ponechám slovo panu komisaři Almuniovi. Jsem velmi rád, že na tomto ECOFINu jsme diskutovali otázku dlouhodobé udržitelnosti a kvality veřejných financí. Vy, kteří sledujete mé vyjádření, víte, že jsem velmi často varoval před tím, aby se nestalo, že konjunkturální protikrizová opatření budou v rozporu s dlouhodobými politikami udržitelnosti veřejných rozpočtů. A proto je tak důležité diskutovat to vzájemně, protože vedle krize je před Evropou obrovská výzva vyřešit problém stárnutí populace a s tím reformovat její penzijní systémy, systémy veřejného zdravotního pojištění. A v tomto smyslu dnes Rada přijala zcela jasné závěry, ve kterém vyjadřuje rozhodlání tyto reformy na celém území Evropské unie zavádět, provádět. Prožili jsme velmi živou diskuzi o zdanění tabákových výrobků. Myslím si, že v tom všechny členské státy i komise udělali obrovský kus práce a že od výchozího bodu jsme dospěli velký kus cesty ke společné dohodě, ale nejsme ještě na konci. Jsou ještě některá sporná stanoviska mezi některými členskými státy. Takže výsledky diskuze i výsledky všech kompromisních návrhů, které české předsednictví předkládalo, jsme předložili koreperům další diskuzi a věříme, že v následujících měsících se podaří k jednomyslnému stanovisku dojít. Bodem, na který nám obzvláště záleží, je good governance v daňové oblasti. Komise informovala o pokroku v jednání s Lichtensteinskem a při té příležitosti jsme vedli i širší debatu o této problematice. A při bodu, který byl posledním bodem našeho jednání, stav legislativy v oblasti finančních služeb, jsme mohli společně s komisí říct, že velmi ambiciózní legislativní plán, který byl stanoven, se podařilo splnit. Byla schválena směrnice Evropského parlamentu a Rady Solvency II, nařízení Evropského parlamentu a Rady o ratingových agenturách, směrnice Evropského parlamentu a Rady o přístupu k činnosti institucí elektronických peněz, a nařízení Evropského parlamentu a rady o přeshraničních platbách ve společenství. A ve všech těchto otázkách se podařilo dosáhnout dohody s Evropským parlamentem v prvním čtení, takže následující kroky už jsou kroky jenom technicko-legislativní. Jsem přesvědčen, že i pátý bod, o kterém bude zítra hlasovat Evropský parlament, směrnice o kapitálové přiměřenosti bank, CRD, skončí rovněž úspěchem. Chtěl bych poděkovat všem členským státům i komisi za mimořádné úsilí a kooperativnost při dosažení těchto dohod a těchto hmatatelných výsledků v legislativní oblasti, v oblasti finančních služeb. Na závěr jedno osobní sdělení. Informoval jsem radu, informuji i vás, že v pátek končí moje mise předsedy ECOFINu, neboť bude jmenována v pátek nová česká úřednická vláda, která povede zemi k předčasným volbám. Na mé místo nastoupí můj dosavadní náměstek pro budget, jeden z mých nejbližších spolupracovníků, dlouhodobý zkušený odborník v této oblasti a já nepochybuji, že svoji práci zvládne. A při té příležitosti mi dovolte, abych i na tiskové konferenci nesmírně poděkoval všem členským státům a především komisi za tu obrovskou čest, že jsem směl několik měsíců moderovat naší celoevropskou diskuzi. Setkal jsem se s mimořádnou kompetencí a přátelským pochopením. Pokud něco se podařilo během českého předsednictví zvládnout, pak to bylo právě pro tu společnou vůli vyřešit ty klíčové otázky, které zejména doba hospodářské krize přinesla a já bych chtěl tady na místě složit hold nejenom všem svým kolegům, ale i komisařům, obou dvou, kteří sedí vedle mě, i těm, kteří tu teď nejsou, jako třeba Láslo Kováčovi, a poděkovat jim za obrovský kus práce, nejenom při spolupráci s českým předsednictvím, ale především za obrovský kus práce pro Evropu.
Děkuji. Thank you very much. Well, I want to start by saying in public how thankful I am as Commissioner for Economic and Monetary Affairs for the good cooperation and the good work that Miroslav Kalousek has developed during these months as president of the ECOFIN, since he was appointed Minister of Finance in the Czech Republic. We had extremely good cooperation. He made an excellent job for adjusting the public finances in the Czech Republic, and he has made an excellent job chairing the discussions and the meetings of the ECOFIN during these five meetings under the Czech presidency in a very difficult period and with very fruitful results. Thank you very much, Miroslav, for your support and for your cooperation, and I wish you the best in your personal life and in your political life. Regarding the discussions this morning, apart the very interesting dialogue with the candidate countries, as every year we had the opportunity to exchange views with them around the pre-accession programs that they present to the Commission and that we assess, as we do with the Member States, with the Stability and Convergence programs of the Member States. This is a very useful exercise, not only on the substance of the analysis and assessments, but as a training period for the moment when these candidates will become members of the European Union and will have to fulfill their obligations to present to the Commission and to their colleagues in the ECOFIN the convergence programs. Indeed, these programs reflect also in the candidate countries the consequences of the recession that we have analyzed when discussing the forecast that I will not repeat today because I presented to you yesterday. I have to say that the reaction of the ministers is a positive one, recognizing the difficulty of the situation, but at the same time also observing, as we do, the positive signals that start to appear in the horizon, both in the European economies, in the US economy, in the Asian economies, and I hope that this gloomy picture of the present economic times will be transformed progressively in a positive picture of the future. For this purpose, we have adopted, the member states have adopted a huge amount of measures, they have allocated a huge amount of resources. Around 5 points of the European GDP is committed to finance these measures, to rescue banks, to ease monetary policy conditions, to use fiscal policy, to let the automatic stabilizers play their role. And I am convinced that this effort will pay off good positive results in the coming quarters. Indeed, there are also social consequences that have been discussed today. In the short term, the unemployment and the need to reinforce our actions. I look forward for the positive results of the employment summit this week in Prague. And looking to the medium to long term, we need to use the exit strategy from this crisis to reinforce the sustainability of our social protection systems. We have been discussing also today, this morning in the ECOFIN, the aging report that we presented together with the Economic Policy Committee and the communication on aging that the Commission adopted a few weeks ago. The ECOFIN shares our concerns on how to tackle the challenges of aging, and I look forward for the coming months' discussions under the Swedish presidency. The Swedish Minister Anders Borg has committed that under the next presidency, the next period of 6 months, this issue of aging will be one of the most important elements to be present in the agenda of the ECOFIN. And finally, one very rapid point regarding the increase of the ceiling of the balance of payments facility that has been endorsed today by the ECOFIN, and also the political endorsement by the ECOFIN ministers to the proposal of the Commission to help the Romanian financial needs through the use of this balance of payments support. Thank you.
Well, I too would like to join with Joaquin in thanking Miroslav for the wonderful way that he has conducted the chairing of the ECOFIN Council. It has been due to his very amiable personality and the efficiency of all his delegation, it has been possible to conclude many dossiers which had proved exceedingly difficult to make progress upon. And a lot of that is due to his own personal stamp and how he does business. So I too would like to wish him very well in the future and thank him on behalf of the Commission, but particularly on a personal level also. Now, as Miroslav has said, agreement was finalised today on 4 legislative initiatives to strengthen the regulatory framework for financial services. And these 4 initiatives were Solvency II, Credit Rating Agencies, the E-Money Directive and Cross-Border Payments Directive. And tomorrow, the European Parliament should adopt the amendments to the Capital Requirements Directive, which includes, among other things, the 5% retention for securitised products. And last week, we tabled a comprehensive package to regulate the alternative investment funds industry, more better known as hedge funds and private equity, and other alternative investment fund managers. We also adopted last week a communication and 2 recommendations to tackle perverse incentives in executive pay and remuneration in financial services sector. And as a follow-up, we'll propose legislation to equip supervisors in our member states with the powers to impose sanctions on financial institutions whose remuneration policies pose an unacceptable risk from a prudential viewpoint. This will be tabled next month. And we'll be coming forward shortly also with a communication which will flesh out our ideas on the recommendations of the Jacques Delarosière Group. The legislative changes to give effect to our proposals will follow in the autumn and should be adopted in time for the renewed supervisory arrangements to be up and running during the course of 2010. So as you can see, the EU has been at the forefront in developing a regulatory response to the crisis. I might add this in full accord with the conclusions of the recent G20 meeting in London. Today, ministers also discussed accounting standards and reiterated their concern on the risk of divergence between how banks are treated in the EU and in the United States. There is a real concern among ministers that there is insufficient appreciation in the IASB of the huge impact on financial stability that fair value accounting has caused. But we'll come back to these issues next month on the basis of further analysis by the Commission and the EFC.
Thank you very much. We have time for a few questions. Reuters in the back.
Jan Strzelczewski from Reuters. A question to all gentlemen. Could you tell us if, after the Commission forecasts, finance ministers came any closer to formulating a coordinated exit strategy for public finances, since we already know when the recovery is going to take place? And the second question, could you comment on President Obama's proposal to crack down on tax evasion among US companies through tax havens, please?
I think that, honestly speaking, we have to say that it is good that all the ministers are fully aware of the importance of the exit strategy. There is no common schedule for the exit strategy, but we are all very well aware that we need to go back to sustainable public finance. We are aware of the risk of the extra liquidity that has gotten into the market after the unprecedented fiscal stimulus packages, and all of this constitutes a great basis for a coordinated exit strategy. So the basic cornerstone of the discussion, that something like that is necessary, has been reached. Now, as for the proposal of President Obama, obviously, it is in the interest of all of us to have a coordinated approach to non-cooperative jurisdictions. But I wish that it is a really correct, serious approach that will be devoid of any sort of vain effects. And I can say it as the outgoing chair of ECOFIN. I think it's a shame that at the G20 there was an unfinalized list of countries that was published and they divided them into black and gray and white ones. And this list is just an evaluation of a certain number of countries, not all countries. So I personally believe that it shouldn't have been published and that some countries of the EU should not be on that list because they clearly do have the will to cooperate and they declare themselves as cooperating. The Czech presidency at that meeting, the declaration remained alone in its declaration, so the list was indeed published and led to a number of false interpretations. So this is just a personal statement of Miroslav Kalousek as the outgoing chairman of ECOFIN. Personally, on my behalf, I feel necessary to say sorry to Luxembourg, Austria, and Belgium, and to apologize. And in no case are they non-cooperating jurisdictions or tax havens, and the publication of their names under that list was not fair.
Oh, regarding the exit strategy question, everybody is aware. Everybody means the ECOFIN ministers, the Commission, of course, the European Council at the head of state and government level, that we need this strategy to get out of the crisis with a stronger economic fundamentals and also preserving our social model. What this means? This means that on the one hand, in parallel with the correction of the present imbalances
we need to be prepared to withdraw the discretionary fiscal stimulus when the demand will be able to be sustained without this kind of support, as the central banks has announced that they will be ready to withdraw the monetary stimulus when this will not be needed anymore. Second point, we need to step up our structural reforms strategy to increase our competitiveness, to increase our resilience, to increase our economic dynamism. This means that the discussions about the future of the Lisbon strategy that will start in the coming months are especially important in these times of crisis. This revision of the Lisbon strategy should integrate the concerns about the adaptation of our social protection systems to preserve our social values. And final point, we need to integrate in this strategy also the long-term sustainability concerns. We have been discussing today aging, but at the same time we know that the starting point of our discussions on aging from now on should take into account the higher levels of public debt because of the efforts that we are adopting to fight against the crisis.
Good afternoon, in Czech, please. Dobrý den, Ondřej Houska, Český rozhlas, otázka pro pana ministra Kalouska, pro pana komisaře Almuniu. První otázka, summit k nezaměstnanosti v Praze. Pan komisař řekl, že od něj očekává výsledky. Co konkrétně můžeme očekávat? Tedy otázka pro pana ministra i pro pana komisaře. Co konkrétně můžeme očekávat, kromě toho, že se zopakuje výzva pro podniky, aby nepropouštěli zaměstnance, ale třeba si vyžádali od státu podporu na přeškolování, rekvalifikaci a tak dál. A také otázka ohledně té exit strategy, ohledně deficitů. Chtěl bych se zeptat pana ministra, na základě čeho si je tak jistý, že všichni státníci skutečně dodrží to, co teď tvrdí, tedy že si uvědomují ze střednědobého hlediska nutnost té exit strategy, když nekonsolidovali své veřejné finance v době velmi vysokého růstu. Proč by to měli dělat teď v době krize, jestli nebude platit spíše to, co o politicích prohlásil Jean-Claude Juncker, tedy všichni víme, jakou politiku máme dělat, jenom nevíme, jak potom být znovu zvoleni. Děkuji.
Tu první otázku. Samozřejmě očekáváme, že summit přispěje některými návody společného postupu,
zejména jak využívat například Evropský sociální fond, jak koordinovat svoji aktivní politiku zaměstnanosti. How to coordinate employment policies. I don't think that we should call on the companies to cease being competitive because they would have to have disproportionate wage costs. That wouldn't be the right direction. But the right direction is to look for good ideas and wholesome directions. And although I know it's difficult,
I think that
the conference will also address the barriers that are on the labor market. We have a common position against protectionism. We know that our own consumption won't feed anybody, that more than at any other time we need our neighbors, and we mustn't raise walls and barriers between each other. And the barriers on the labor market are also such barriers that need to be taken down, and I would be happy if this was said clearly and loudly. Now, your other question was, where do I take the certainty? Well, if I wanted to work somewhere where there's certainty, I wouldn't be a politician. I do not try to draw certainty, but hope. And the hope stems from the fact that even a crisis can be a good lesson.
Yes. Regarding your second point, I think it's not it's not true to say during the good times the member states had not consolidated the public finances. If you look at the evolution of the public finances during the past years, till the beginning of the crisis, till the end of 2007, the degree of fiscal consolidation was extremely important. Extremely important. In the euro area, the public deficit was at the end of 2007 0.6%. So the euro area was practically balanced. And in most of our member states, the correction of the deficit that had existed in the past took place during the good years. It's true that not all member states had consolidated with the same ambition their public finances before the crisis, but most of them did a very, very good job. Now the situation is very difficult for all of our member states, and we need, in the short term, we need to use fiscal policy in a very active way to give a stimulus to the demand. It's the only stimulus that we can give to the demand side of our economies in most of our countries. It's true that some of the member states had not fiscal space to contribute to this stimulus, but the whole European Union is making a big effort, and this effort is needed. But at the same time, we need to preserve the medium-term objectives, to maintain medium-term consolidation objectives. We will discuss on this during the next months, indeed. And we will put this in connection with the challenges of the long-term sustainability of our public finances that derives from the aging challenge. So I think we are living in a very difficult situation from the economic point of view and also from the situation of the public finances in the short term. But the consensus on what we need to do in the medium to long term to preserve the sustainability of our public finances has not disappeared because of the crisis. And regarding the employment summit, I would like this summit to orient the discussion in a spirit of a social dialogue. The contribution of the social partners is key for many of these element that should improve the functioning of the labor markets in a moment when unemployment is going up. According to our forecast, the unemployment levels will breach the 10% limit next year. I think this social dialogue should be based on many contributions that come from the workshops organized by the Czech presidency with the participation of the Commission and of the social partners during the past months. I am sure that this summit will reach agreements on how to improve employability of workers. I am sure that this summit will reach agreements on how to improve the policies to ensure lifelong learning to our citizens. And I am sure that this summit will give us very positive ideas on how to improve the efficiency and the intensity of the active labor market policies that are needed to avoid that this unemployment will be transformed in a structural unemployment, as it was the case after the crisis in the 70s. Thank you.
Thank you. The minister needs to continue with the ECOFIN over lunch, so we have time for one last question. Anyone in the back? Yeah.
I'm from Reuters as well. I'd like to ask, to what extent is what President Obama has announced on tax in line with tax principles being pursued in Europe? And to what extent is or could Europe seek to implement similar tax policies as a bloc rather than just at the national level? And finally, is the US move on taxes something that could, in the long run, help the competitiveness of EU firms through multinationals relocating to Europe? Thank you.
I'm
Přiznám se, že jste na mě nesmírně rychlá. Já jsem pouze informován o prohlášení pana prezidenta Obamy, včetně jeho výzvy k postupu proti daňovým rázům a offshoreovým strukturám. Blížší informace nemám, takže vám mohu odpovědět nejdříve zítra, až si to celé přečtu. Já, co se týče daňové politiky v rámci Evropy, a já jsem vždycky věřil na koordinaci v oblasti nepřímých daní. Nevěřím a nepokládám za vhodnou slučování v oblasti přímých daní, ale respektuji, že jsou na to různé názory.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.